Okay, today's daf is by Masir Daf Kuf Beis. We left off at the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Aleph Amin Beis. It says the Mishnah, Hamaskir Bayis L'Chavero, if someone rents a house to a friend, Hamaskir Chayev B'Delas B'Nagar B'Minol U'B'Kol Dover Shemaisu Uman. So the person who's the owner of the house, who's renting the house out, the landlord, is Chayev in making sure that certain essentials are there. The delas, which is the door, the nagar, which Rashi says shenol in boas hadelas, that they use to lock the door, the tochnos of a kuras hiskofa, it sticks into the doorpost to keep the door locked, and the minol, which is another lock on the door, are all things that the maskir, the landlord, has to provide, and anything that's a maisa uman, anything that would take a professional in order to build, is something that the landlord has to provide. Avodavar sheino maisa uman hasocher osehu, but anything that anybody could put up that's not a maisa uman, so it's up to the socher to provide that. Hazevel shel bal habayis, if there is manure that's produced, and the Gemara is going to discuss the details of what exactly we're talking about, whose animals, whose chatzer, but if there is zevel, it belongs to the bal habayis, ve'in l'socher ala yotzi min atanur min ha-kirayim bulvad, and all the socher gets to have is the ashes that come out of the oven and the stove. That's what the socher gets to keep. Again, the Gemara will discuss exactly what we're talking about. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, Hamaskir bayis l'chaveru maskir chayiv lahamadol d'lasos. The maskir, the balabayis, the landlord, is chayiv to put doors, liftoch l'chalonos, to open up windows, l'chazik l'tikra. He's also chayiv if the beams of the ceiling are rotting out and they need to be replaced. He has to do that. Lismoch l'kura, if one of the beams are breaking and needs to be supported, he has to provide support for that. The socher chayev lasos l'sulam, but the socher, the tenant, is chayev to make a ladder in order to be able to get up to the top floor, to get up to the roof. Lasos l'maka, it's the socher's responsibility to build a maka on his roof. Lasos l'marzev, to make a gutter so that the rain won't, the rain will run off properly. V'latiach esgago, and also to tar the roof so that the rain doesn't ruin the roof. It should be able to slide off properly. So all those things are basic obligations not on the maskir but on the socher himself. Okay, so says the Gemara. So it's nice. We just said all these different things that the maskir is responsible, the socher is responsible. Who's responsible to put up a mezuzah? So I says Gemara, mezuzah, hamrav misharshi, mezuzah chovas adarhi. What kind of question? Who's responsible to put up a mezuzah? It's beferish mezuzah is a chiyuv on the person who's living there. Why is it a chiyuv on the person who's living there? Says Rashi, chovas adarhi, tedarshinan b'mnachos, beischa derech bi'ascha. That we darshan beischa, the one who comes in, the way that you come into the house. So who's the one who's obligated to put up the mezuzah? Lamisha nichnas v'yosila zehadarba, the person who's going in and out of the house. He's the one that has to put up the mezuzah, and that's the person who lives there. So only the one who lives there is chayiv to put up a mezuzah. If you look at the Maritzchiyus on that Rashi, says Maritzchiyus that this is what Rashi says in Avodah Zarah as well. However, in Pesachim Daf Dalid, says Rashi, lefi shehi mishamarto, that the reason you put up a mezuzah, the one who lives there has to put up the mezuzah, is because the mezuzah provides protection. Who does it protect? The one who owns the house? No, it protects the person who's living in the house. So since he's the one benefiting from the mezuzah, he's the one that has to put up the mezuzah. That's how Rashi says in Maseches Pesachim. Maariz Chayis says a whole arichus over here, though. He says, U'be'emes kvar hir beisi milim b'makom acher, she'ein zet ha'mikr. Maariz Chayis says, I already made a big deal about this, but let me make a big deal about it again. That's not really the main primary reason for mezuzah. Afal pi shekam das chazal de mezuzah mishameres. Granted, it's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph, that a mezuzah does in fact protect. Right, it is true that the mezuzah does afford protection for us, but that's not the reason for the mitzvah. It's not the focus of the mitzvah. Ulam haRambam perakei milchus tefillin alachadalat shekasav, and the Rambam has such a lashon, such a strong lashon in the fifth parak of milchus tefillin, where he writes sheelu hatipshin lo daisha bitlu a mitzvah. That these fools who use a mezuzah as some sort of charm, where they just think a mezuzah is there for protection and they don't treat it as something that's a mitzvah, not only are they not doing the mitzvah, but they take a major mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they do it for their own benefit. And they're not doing it as a form of avodas Hashem. And that's a terrible thing. And he says, I gam kena goes maimini perek alf milchus tefillin, lahashav al elu shachosh vin tam ladas rabbeinu b'mezuzah, ein tzarech ibul l'shma mishum de'inu chovas haguf rak l'shmirim en ha-mezikin. Hagos maimini discusses those people who think that the reason you don't need ibul l'shma on a mezuzah, right, on the klaf of a mezuzah, is because it's really only for protection. It's not really a chiyuv, it's not a chovas haguf. And the Gos Maimon says that's ridiculous, that people who think that are morons, and that you can't, you're not allowed to treat the mezuzah as if it's just some sort of kamea. V'ikr de mezuzah meshamer is kamo Torah. He says, yeah, mezuzah protects you, so does Torah protect you. Just like it says, d'chsiv b'shachucha tishmor alecha, and v'kaim lo l'kaman, rabbanu lo tzricha nitirusa. Right, the Gemara is going to say later on, and the Gemara is at the beginning of Basra as well, we're going to learn over the next couple of weeks, that rabbanan don't need protection when it comes to taxing residents of a city to pay for various things, so the Rabbanan have to pay the taxes that pay for a garbage pickup and that pay for paving the roads and things like that. But the taxes that pay for the police force and the wall around the city, things that protect the inhabitants of the city, technically speaking, the Rabbanan are pater from such taxes. But aren't patur from taxes. They're patur from such taxes because they don't require protection because the Torah itself protects them. So what? So you think a person is supposed to learn because it affords him protection? No, that's not the reishis hamitzvah lo huncha avur hanas atzmo. The purpose of the mitzvah is not for your own hana, and not so you can get benefit from it. The mitzvah of mezuzah, the main segula of the mitzvah of mezuzah, is to remind, as the Rambam writes, to remind you on your way in and out of every room that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over, and to reinforce in ourselves this emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we have the minhag to touch the mezuzah when we go in and out of a room. The minhag to touch the mezuzah again comes from this idea that we want to remind ourselves that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam in this world, but it's not about the protection that's afforded. Anyway, that's Maritz Chayis' rant over here based on Rashi, not here. Rashi over here says it's just a drasha, derech biyascha. But Rashi in Pesachim says that the reason it's a chavas hadar, the reason it's a chiv on the person who's living there, not the person who owns it, is because of this protection. So he says, just don't get confused with this idea of protection. There's a lot of literature on the topic of protection of the mezuzah, obviously, because the Rambam got so excited about it. And the truth is, it's a very famous Gemara, Avil Zar Dafir Al. That's the Gemara about Unklus Hager. Right, what does the Gemara say? That they wanted to arrest Unklus, so the king sent people to arrest him. So he immediately started talking to them and converted them. And then the king eventually, I forget all the steps, but there were three groups, but one of the groups the king finally said, don't talk to him. You're not allowed to say a word to him, because if you start talking to him, he's going to convert you. And Unklus didn't say a word, he just started looking at the mezuzah on the way out. And they said, okay, what is that? We need to know. And he said, oh, well, you see, that is why the Ribbono Shel Olam is different than a normal king. A normal king will try to hire security to protect him. The Ribbono Shel Olam puts himself on the front lines to protect us. He provides the protection. And they were, oh, that's so impressive, that's so amazing, and they also converted. So Unklus himself gave that explanation of that's what a mezuzah is all about. The Torah also writes, based on the Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Lamed Beis, that a person who does the mitzvah of mezuzah is going to be zochet arichus yamim, and someone who doesn't do the mitzvah of mezuzah, based on our Gemara, we're going to see soon, not only will he not have arichus yamim, but it's also a skula for his children to die and for his wife to die, so it's really not a good thing. Okay, in fact, the Torah says la halacha that the reason we put the mezuzah, if you have a very thick doorpost on the outermost tefach of the door, you don't put it. Our doorposts are generally very narrow, so we could barely fit a mezuzah. But, you know, when you have the old houses built out of stone that was very, very thick, the mezuzah would be on the outer tefach of the doorpost. Why? Because the mezuzah protects everything that's inside of it. So you want to maximize the area that's being protected by the mezuzah. That's what the Torah writes. The Gemara in Menachos suggests that you put it on the outer part of the door so that you should immediately see the mezuzah right away when you walk into the house. Again, more the emunah issue rather than the protection issue. The Torah writes that when he discusses the advantages of mezuzah, when he talks about protection, he mentions that that's a greater reason than the previous reason of the advantage of a mezuzah being that you're going to be zochet harichus yamin. There's a lot of discussion what in the world the Torah meant by that. Why is it a greater reason, the fact that it provides protection, than the zochus that you can have for harichus yamin? Okay, not going to get into that. But the Torah also makes a point of saying that despite all the benefits one could have by keeping a mezuzah on the door, you should do the mitzvah with the sole intention of doing the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Gilui Marsha says you put a mezuzah for the sake of the mitzvah, you're also allowed to think about the benefits that you're going to gain from putting a mezuzah, but the mezuzah can be a dangerous thing for someone who puts it solely for the purpose of protection or solely for the purpose of long life, again based on that Rambam. That's why, and probably because of the idea that a mezuzah is protection, a lot of people do unfortunately treat it as some sort of a charm, and it seems that it's a total waste of time to put it and a destructive thing to put it for a stam, just a charm. The Shvus Yaakov, however, writes in the Tshuva in Chel Gimel Simen Pei Tes that from a strictly halachic perspective, there may be places that don't need a mezuzah, but he suggests being extra machmir in terms of where we put mezuzahs simply because of the protection issue. Meaning, why is it that when it comes to dafka, this mitzvah, people are so much more machmir in terms of what constitutes a tzuras ha-pesach and what doesn't, and they put mezuzahs in so many more places than we normally would be la-halacha? Shvus Yaakov says it's because of this idea of protection that the mezuzah provides. It's sort of like, it's not that if you put a mezuzah hanging on your rearview mirror in your car that it's going to do anything. No, that's a total waste of time. But anything that's a shaila, a lot of people are machmir about. Why? Because even though, let's say, if you have such a suffix or such a shaila, 99% of the poskim say a certain tzuras ha-pesach is not a tzuras ha-pesach, so normally in any other area of halacha you would say follow the 99% of the poskim. But part of the idea of chamira sakanta meisura, that since it's a sakana issue, the mezuzah provides protection, so we're even going to be choshesh for a das yachid when it comes to mezuzah. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. So who puts up the mezuzah? The Gemara says, open and shut case, it's obvious who puts up the mezuzah. The one who lives there puts up the mezuzah. Elamako mezuzah almin. No, the question is, who's responsible for making the place for the mezuzah? So Amrulu Rav Sheshes Tanisua, Davar She'en, I mean, they used to chisel into the wall a little hole where they could stick the mezuzah. So Amrulu Rav Sheshes Tanisua, Davar She'en Maisu Uman, Hasochra Sehu. Anything that's not a Maisu Uman, that doesn't take a professional to build, the socher is the one who has to, the tenant is the one who has to do it. Vahinami, Lav Maisu Uman Hu. And this is also not a Maisu Uman. Efshar Hu Beguf Sadekanya. Because what do you have to do to make a spot for the mezuzah? All you need to do is take a reed and stick the cloth inside the reed. That, of course, is the source for the concept of a mezuzah cover, right? That you take a reed and you stick the cloth inside the reed. Says Tosfos, why? Why is it necessary? So Tosfos says, Top Tosfos, Mikan Nira Kamosh Pirish Rashi B'Menachos. This sounds like Rashi's Shita in Mesechus Menachos, Shemanichna Mezuzah Mu'umad. Is Machlokas Rishonim, how do you position the mezuzah? Do you put it horizontally or vertically? Do you have it standing up or lying down? So he says, it sounds from this Gemara, the fact that you need to put it in some sort of reed, that it's supposed to be standing up. So you need to put it in some sort of tube to keep it standing, otherwise it's just going to fall right over. But according to, very interesting lashon, no? It's according to Rabbeinu Tam that you would put it lying down, like a Sefer Torah is kept in the Aron, lying down, I don't know what that, right? Like, that's where they kept Sefer Torah, I guess. And not Mu'umad, Uba Menachos Nami Asal Kaminagar Psula, Vahainu Mu'umad. And not only that, Rabbeinu Tam understands that if you put it standing up, it's going to be Pasul, Tashili Amokhar Peros, Amar al kaminagar hainu kavuras chamar mashma ba omid kamar vimkein gusta dekanya lamali. So then, what's the purpose of this reed if really it's supposed to be lying down anyway? You don't need the reed to keep the mezuzah standing up. The purpose of the mezuzah cover, it's a mezuzah cover. It's there to protect the mezuzah. That if the whole purpose is if the mezuzah is allowed to be and supposed to be positioned in a lying down position, why would you need a cover? Only to protect it from the moisture of the wall. The Taz in Resh Pei Vav Sif Katan Hey, that especially when we consider our minhag that we touch the mezuzah on the way in and out of room, it becomes even more important to have a mezuzah cover, not only to protect from the moisture of the wall, but to protect from hands constantly touching it. And especially we put our minhag that we have the shakai on the outside of the mezuzah, we have a Shem Hashem print written on the outside of the mezuzah, which is okay. The Rambam says you're allowed to do that, and that's it's an ancient minhag, but it's certainly going to be a chashash of mechikas Hashem of l'sasan kein l'Hashem elokeichem to be mochik the Shem Hashem if you're always going to be touching it directly and you're not going to have something covering it. So that's why we have a cover of the mezuzah. There are other reasons for the cover also. Certainly in bedrooms, there's a need for a double covering if the mezuzah is in the room when you close the door. Normally it's not. Normally when you close the door, the mezuzah is left outside of the room, but there's an isra of tashmish hamita in front of a mezuzah unless there's a double covering on the mezuzah. So there are other requirements for covering the mezuzah. Okay, there's an interesting discussion in the poskim in terms of what type of cover is preferable. Metal covers, glass covers, does glass covers do anything? If it's see-through, so if it's to protect it from moisture, it certainly does do something, right? It certainly does protect it. If it's an issue of it's not appropriate for a person to change, to get undressed or whatever in front of an exposed cloth, so maybe it's not as clear that the glass is going to do anything. Again, topics for a different time. I think we once discussed this in the past anyway, and we had mezuzah shiurim once. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Tan Rabbanan, Hamaskar Bayis Chaveru Al Socher Lasos Mezuzah. It's the socher's responsibility to put up a mezuzah. Ukshu Yotze Lo Yitlana Biyadov Yotze. But when he leaves, he's not allowed to take his mezuzahs with him. So you rent a house, you're living there for a few months, for a few years, whatever, you put up mezuzahs, you have to leave the mezuzahs in the house when you leave. But if you rent it from a guy, so when you leave the house, it's going to be left in the hands of a guy, then you're allowed to take the mezuzahs down when you leave. One guy took the mezuzahs down, the kavar ishto shnei vanav, and he ended up burying his wife and his two children. So that's a little bit scary. So that's why people are trying to be very makbid about this halacha. It's a halacha that when you leave a house, you leave the mezuzah there. So frankly, but wait a second. Maisa listar. We just said that when you leave a house and a guy is moving in, you're supposed to take it down with you. And then we say, yeah. And once a guy did that, and he buried his wife and children. So isn't that a stira? And so, well, no, I'm Rav Sheshes HaReisha. Now, the story wasn't a case where the guy was leaving the house and a guy was moving in. The story was about a case where the guy was leaving a house and a Jew was moving in. So that's why that's why he buried his wife and two children. But if you were leaving the house and a guy was moving in, it would be a different story. Then, of course, he'd be permitted to take the mezuzah. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Yeradei, Reish Tzad Yalf Sif Beis, when moving out of a house, a person has to leave the mezuzah for the next person who's going to move in. That's only, though, on the scrolls, obviously. The cases, if you have expensive mezuzah covers or anything like that, certainly you're allowed to take those down and replace them with cheaper mezuzah covers. Why is this true, though? Why is it that you have to leave the mezuzahs there? So the Shiltos Rav Chaigon in Parsha Shlach, Shilta Kufcha Vav, writes that the removal of a mezuzah is a bizoyon mitzvah, because it removes that mitzvah from a place that previously had the mitzvah affiliated with. And the Shiltos quotes our Gemara that someone buried his wife and children, again, because it's a bizoyon for the mitzvah. Tosos anticipates that reason, but rejects it. If you look at Tosos, which appears on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, it's a misplaced Tosos. The bottom Tosos on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, Lo Yitlan of Yetze, Afal Gavda Amar Shmuel, the Metilin Mibega the Beged, Gabi Mezuzah Aser. So what's Tosos saying? Even though when it comes to tzitzis, you're allowed to remove tzitzis from one beged and put it on another beged, meaning he's anticipating the reason of the Shiltos, that it's a bizayon mitzvah to remove the mitzvah from one place that it was affiliated with and bringing it to another place, since you're moving it from the original place. So the Tosafot says, well, why should that be the case? By tzitzis, we don't say that. By tzitzis, it's not considered a bizayon mitzvah in any way to remove from one and bring to the next. So why should it be any different over here? So he says, no, gabi mezuzah aser, lefi shamazikin ba'in bebayi she'in ba'mezuzah, Ukshenotla Hilu Maziko Sanche Yador Babayas. Unbelievable. He says because the reason we said before, mezuzah affords protection to whoever lives there. And therefore, when you remove the mezuzah, you leave the house vulnerable to attack of mazikin or whatever. And therefore, it says if you're being mazik, the person who's moving in. That's why you can't take the mezuzah. It's ki'ilu you're being mazik, the person that's moving in. Now, although you have to leave the mezuzah on the doorpost, for the next person, Rama writes that the seller can certainly charge the buyer for the mezuzahs. It doesn't say anywhere that the seller has to bear the loss, the financial loss of the cost of the mezuzahs, just that he can't take it off because of the mazik reason or whatever, bizayin mitzvah, but certainly he can request payment. Nevertheless, Aruch HaShulchan says that if the buyer refuses to pay, the seller's still not allowed to take the mezuzahs with him. Meaning, he's allowed to ask for the money, but if the buyer refuses to pay, then the seller's not allowed to take the money, not allowed to take the mezuzahs with him. However, Diane Weiss writes in Minchas Yitzhak and Chayel Tesim Kovav that if the buyer owes the seller some money anyway, I'm sorry, the seller owes the buyer money, if the seller owes some money to the buyer, he can, instead of paying that money back, just allow it to be cancelled out with charging him for the mezuzahs. Meaning, if the buyer says, I'm not paying for the mezuzahs, and he owes him money anyway, he can say, okay, then I'm not paying you back the value of the mezuzahs that I haven't owed you, and that way it will cancel each other out. He's allowed to be hafkas halva aso is okay when it comes to charging for the mezuzah. Pesachei Tshuva says that even if the buyer is interested in putting up his own mezuzahs and tells you it's okay, you can take them, the seller still can't remove the mezuzahs. Which is unbelievable. That's a lot of people don't realize that. You think, okay, so they have some sort of agreement. What should you do? The seller should have the buyer, when the buyer does replace the mezuzahs, send him the mezuzahs. The buyer shouldn't remove them and leave the doorposts vacant of mezuzah until the buyer gets in there. Rather, when the buyer moves in and puts up his own mezuzahs, he could take down the seller's mezuzahs and mail them or send them to the seller. But to just leave them, to just take them yourself, you can't do, even if it's agreed upon that it's okay. Only when you're moving to a place where you're not going to be able to get mezuzahs, only then are you allowed to take them with you if the buyer agrees. Okay, Rav Moshe said the minhag is a lot of times you have people who live in rented homes that they rent from a Jew. There's a Jewish landlord and another Jew is going to move in, or they rent from a non-Jew, but and they know another Jew is going to move in. It's in a Jewish neighborhood. They're in an area where it's only young frum couples that are moving into the apartments. So Rav Moshe writes that the minhag is to be sameich on a psak that Rav Henkin had, that since the landlord very often paints the apartment in between, so b'chol mikre the mezuzahs are going to be removed for the painting, so then you're allowed to take it down anyway, because they're going to be taken down no matter what, so you're allowed to take them down and bring them with you. Okay, the Chaznish was asked if you could switch for lesser quality mezuzahs before you leave the house. He said that no, you should not remove it at all, and you shouldn't even switch it for lesser quality mezuzahs. Even if you have very expensive mezuzahs, you want to take them with you, you shouldn't do it. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Hazevel shel balabai. So he said the manure goes to the balabayas. The socher only gets to keep the ashes from the oven. But my askinos, so what are we talking about? Ilem b'chatzur da'agrele v'socher v'turi d'socher amay shel balabayas. If it's a chatzur that's rented to the socher and the animals that produce the zevel belong to the socher, so why should it belong to the balabayas? That doesn't make any sense. Ela b'chatzur d'lagi v'socher v'turi d'maskir. So if the chatzur is not rented to the socher and the oxen belong to the maskir, to the balabayas, Pshita, then of course it belongs to the Balabais. Everything that which produces the Zevel and where the Zevel lands all belongs to the Balabais. Of course it belongs to the Balabais. Says Merlo Tzricha, Bechatzer, Demaskir, Viture, Da'asamial, Makamuba. And we're talking about a chatzer belongs to the maskir, and the animals came from wherever. They don't belong to either one of them. And that's where we say that the zevel belongs to the balabais. Misayele the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. There's a riot to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Dam Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina chatzer shalom konala shlomi daito. That a person's chatzer could be kona on his behalf even without his knowledge. So we hear the balabais doesn't know every time an animal drops, does a dropping in the chatzer. But since he owns the chatzer, his chatzer is kona that zevel. Meisvei imamar kol mitzius sheyavol l'tocha hayom tikna lichatzevi lomar klum. If a guy says anything, any mitzia that ends up in my chatzer today, I want my chatzer to be kona for me, That is worthless. He hasn't said anything. It means absolutely nothing. Now, if Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin is correct that a person's chatzar could be kona for him even without his das, so why is that worthless? What do you mean? Anything that ends up in my chatzar, I should automatically be kona anyway. Forget about even if I didn't say anything. So, of course, if I said that it should be kona for me, it should work. Why not? So, answers Gemara: Hachem Ayaskinan v'chatzar she'ena mishtameres. No, over here we're talking about a chatzer that's not protected, and therefore the chatzer is not going to be kona shlomidaito. A chatzer is only kona shlomidaito when it's a chatzer mishtameres, when it's a chatzer that's guarded. So, yihachi, wait a second. If we're talking about a chatzer that's not guarded, ema seifa, you read weiter, it says in the seifa, yatzal shem mitzia bi'ir dvar of kayamin, that if people know that there's a certain mitzia in the city, then when he makes that statement that he wants his chatzer to be kona, any mitzia that comes in, then it's going to work, right? Then his chatzer will be kona. But wait a second, if the chatzer bottom line is an unguarded chatzer, what do I care that people know there's a metzia, they don't know there's a metzia? Shouldn't make a difference. The chatzer should be incapable of making a kinyan on any item in it if there's no there's no guarding of the chatzer, if the chatzer is not mishtameres. So the answer is Gemara, no. Kivan the yatzel l'shem metzia bi'ir, mivdal b'dili in shemina, b'avila chatzer mishtameres. That since everyone knows that this metziah is going to go to this guy, so it makes the chatzar ki'ilu it's mishtameres, ki'ilu it's protected, because everyone knows to stay away from it. Everyone knows that this metziah is going to go to this guy, and therefore they should stay away from it, and that makes it as if it's guarded, even though it's not really actually guarded in the chatzar. Fine. So again, we're still going to be discussing this chiddush of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina that a person's chatzar could be kona for him shlomi daito meisvei zevel yotzei min hatar min hakirayim vakolit min haavir, zevel that comes out of the ovens and the stoves, and that which is kolit min haavir. Rashi says, what does kolit min haavir mean? Shekibel galalim l'tochli shenasan kli ba'avir v'kibel galalim b'tocho. The animal made a dropping, and instead of letting it fall to the ground, you quickly took a kli and you caught it in the kli. So you grabbed it out of thin air, right? You grabbed it out of the air before it had a chance to hit the ground. Hareyu shalom. Then you get to keep it. Then you're kona it, the chatzar is not kona it. V'shebarefes, v'shebachatzar, shel balabais. But any zevel that lands in the barn or in the chatzar belongs to the balabais, belongs to the landlord, not to the tenant. But wait a second. If it's true that a chatzar could be kona for a person shlomi daito, kolit may avir amai hareu shalo avir chatzeruhu. Why, if the person catches it in the air before it hits the ground, does the tenant acquire it? Doesn't the fact that it's in the airspace of the chatzar, as soon as it leaves the animal's body, it's in the airspace of the chatzar, shouldn't that be enough for the landlord's chatzar to be konit? Chatzar shalom is konit l'shlomidaito. So shouldn't the chatzar of the landlord be konit when it's in the air, when it's in the middle of the air? So Rabbi b'mad b'kli b'shulei para. Now the situation is, you don't really let it get into the air. You stick the kli right onto the cow, right next to the animal where it's where the manure is going to be coming from. So it never really gets into the airspace of the chatzar. It goes straight from the animal into the airspace of your kli, and that's how you konit it. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, you don't have to stick the kli onto the animal like that. Avir she'in sofa lanuach lav kumunach dami. You're right that the avir of a chatzar could be kona for a person, but that's only when its being in the avir is an indication that eventually it's going to land in the chatzar. Normally, gravity tells you that when something's in the avir, eventually it will land in the chatzar. But over here, since there's a kli that's being mafsik, that's waiting to be mekabel the manure, so it's never sofa lanuach. It's never destined to land in the chatzar. And when it's not destined to land in the chatzar, the avir is not going to be kona. Is it really so partial to Rava that Avir She'in Sofa Lanuach, that when you have something that's not going to ultimately rest in the Chatzar, that it's not considered as if it's resting in the Chatzar? But didn't Rava have a Shaila about this? Rava said, if you take a wallet and you throw it through a Rishus, you stand in Rishus Ram, you throw the wallet through Rishus Yach, it goes in one door, out the other, never lands in the middle. So what's the din? Do we say Avir She'in Sofa Lanuach Kamunach Tami, Alav Kamunach Tami, in Hilchas Shabbos? What's the din? Is it that you took the wallet from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah, and then from Rosh Hashanah into the Rosh Hashanah because it went through the Rosh Hashanah? Or do we say no, it was never in the Rosh Hashanah because it was Ein Sof Lanuach, it was never destined to come to a rest in the Rosh Hashanah? Rava raises this as a shayla. Says Gemara, Hasam lamifsek v'lamidi, hacham ifsekli. The reason why it's a shayla over there and not a shayla over here is that in that case there was nothing being mafsek between the ground of the bayis and where this wallet was flying through. So that's a shayla. Rava thought maybe it's considered as if it's munach in the bayis. Over here, however, you have a kli being mafsik between the manure and the ground. So since the kli is being mafsik, so that therefore it's pasha to Rava that it's not kimunach, that it's not as if it's resting in the chatzer, and therefore the tenant can be kona with his kli, the balabais is not kona with his chatzer. Fine. The manure in the refes and in the chatzer, in the barn and in the chatzer, belongs to the balabais. Frek the gemara, tarti? So what's the question? Says Rashi, Tarti, Bitmiya, Tarti, Tzrich, Latan, Lamisni. Do we really need to be told both of these halachos? Lisni Chada, Kivin de Bishalovas, Kivaskin, and Mali Refes, Mali Chatzer. Why should there be a difference between the barn and the Chatzer? If bottom line is you didn't rent out that area, so obviously that area still belongs to the Balabais, and whatever manure is there is acquired by the Balabais. Why do you need to tell me both halachos? That's how Rashi understands. Says Tosfos, no, normally when the Gemara asks Tarti, the Gemara is asking that the two are soser each other, not that you don't need both. Says Tosos, Tarti, Pirsh to Sasrana Adadi, it's a stira between the two. The Haisha Berefes, Loisrich, Lemisni, Legufei, you certainly, meaning Rashi's right, it certainly doesn't need to teach me a halacha that manure found in the barn belongs to the owner of the barn. The Pshitu, the Sofer, Bayis, Bechatzer, Shein, Berefes, Klum. Obviously, when I rent a house in the Chatzer, I don't have any rights in the barn. Velotana El Lemedak, Sheberefes, Lebala Bayis, Lefi Shein, Belusocher, Klum. So why does it tell me the Refes? Tos says, you have to think one step ahead, right? Why does it tell me that it belongs to the Balabais? It must be to be medayek that it's dafka because it's in a refes where the tenant has no rights whatsoever to the refes. That's why it belongs to the Balabais, it belongs to the landlord. But anything that the tenant has any rights to, even if he doesn't rent the area, like a chatzer where he clearly has a right to use the chatzer to go in and out of the house that he's renting, so even though he's not renting the chatzer per se, but he has the rights to use it, the implication is that the Balabais would not be kona things in the chatzer. But then it goes ahead and says that items in the chatzer, that the zevel in the chatzer, the Balabais does acquire. So that's the stira. The stira is the diuk from refes and what's explicit about chatzer. Either way, whatever the Gemara's question is, says the Gemara, answer, Amar Abaye Hachi Kamar, V'sheber Refes, Shebech Chatzar, Re'elu Shal Balabai. It's not telling me two halachos, that if manure is in the Refes or the Chatzar. No, it's saying if there's a barn in the Chatzar, so manure that you find in the barn that's in the Chatzar belongs to the Balabais. Amar Avashi, Zosomer, Samaska Chatzar Estam, Lo Hiska Refes Shabbat. And that's a restatement of the din that we know, that if you rent your Chatzar Estam, the barn is not considered to be rented together with it. If you have birds in a nest, birds are up in a high place, you're chayiv to do shiluach hakan, vasurus begezel mimrei darkei shalom, but it's usher to take those birds when they don't belong to you because of darkei shalom. It's considered as if you're taking birds that belong to somebody else. One second, v'misa l'hadam rabbi yosef rabbi chanina chatzer shalom konel l'shalom idaito, kari kan ki yikra prat l'mezuman. But wait a second, if you hold that a person's chatzer is kona for him, even without his knowledge, so don't we have a halacha that you're only chayiv in shiluach hakan when you happen upon a bird's nest? But if it's mezuman, if it's something that you own, you have a bird's nest in your yard, that there's no chayiv in shiluach hakan. So why should you be chayiv in shiluach hakan if the bird's nest is in your chatzer already? It's already mezuman. So amarava, beitza b'yitzias ruba hu di ichayiv ala b'shiluach. When does the beitza become chayiv in shiluach hakan? When does the chayiv set in? When the rove of the beitza has come out of the mother. Umikna lo kanya, when is your chatzer kona the beitza? Ad nafla lechatzero, only when the beitza is completely out and lands in your chatzer. So v'chi katani chayavus b'shiluach mekame detipa lechatzero. So what are we saying? You're chayiv in shiluach hakan when it's in your chatzer, meaning if rove of the beitza has come out but it has not yet landed in your chatzer, then it's not mezuman because it's not, you haven't acquired it yet. because the kinyan doesn't take effect till it lands in your chatzer, but the chiv of shiluach kan has already set in. So frankly, Mara, okay, so that's the case. You have that small window of time that we say chayiv in shiluach kan. Ihach ya maya surus mishum gezel. Well, why is it asr mishum gezel then? It shouldn't be asr mishum gezel. If the egg hasn't landed in your chatzer, there should be no isr gezel on it because you haven't acquired it yet. Your chatzer hasn't acquired it yet. Answers the Gemara, a'iman. No. It's not asr to steal the eggs. It's asr for someone else to come and take the bird, the mother bird. The mother bird is an isr of gezel. V'ibay se'mali olma beitzim, or maybe no, even it's talking about the eggs, umbidinafi gruba daitei lava. That since rove of the egg has come out, even though you haven't technically acquired it yet, the kinyan isn't until it lands in the chatzer, but since rove of it came out, your das is to acquire it, and therefore it's not nice for someone else to come and take it. Once Rabbi Yudam Rav teaches me that you're not allowed to take the beitzim, so long as the mother is sitting on them. At first you have to send away the mother and then you take the eggs. You could even say that it already fell into the chatzer. The eggs already fell into the chatzer. But still, you know why your chatzer hasn't been kona it and it's not going to be a problem of kiyikra? Because your chatzer, you're right, your chatzer's kona things for you. But it's only kona things for you that you yourself are allowed to be kona. If you yourself are not allowed to be kona something, then your chatzar won't be able to be kona it. So kol zman that the mother is there, you're not allowed to be kona the eggs. If you're not allowed to be kona the eggs, then your chatzar can't be kona the eggs either. Anything you can't be kona, your chatzar also cannot be kona on your behalf. Martz Chayis points out over here, right, that this idea that anything you can't be kona, your chatzar can't be kona, he says, because your chatzar works as your shliach. And this is very similar to the rule, right? That anything you can't do yourself, you can't make a shliach to do it for you. So if you assume chatzar works as the din of a shliach, so you understand very well. If I myself am not allowed to take the eggs, it's an issur for me to take the eggs, I can't make a shliach. I can't make my chatzar, my shliach, to go take the eggs for me. That's if you assume chatzar is midin shliach. However, frek the Maratz Chayis, achein l'tidon dekayim lan chatzar mishum yadis rabai. But we who paskin that chatzar is not midin shliach, it's actually just an extension of a person's yad. Va'af b'makom d'lo shayich shlichus kigon l'dvar aveiru kayim lan d'mahani. And therefore we hold even when a shliach would not be effective, like if it's for a dvar aveira, like in this case, you're not allowed to take the eggs, it's a dvar aveira. But nevertheless, the kinyan is still going to be chal, because it's not midin shlichus, where you have a rule of ein shliach l'dvar aveira, it's midin yad, and the yad can be kone even when it's an aveira to do so. So vim kein, shuv gam kein hacha, my time lo yisku lo chatzero. So then we're stuck. Then what's the Gemara going to say about that? Right? If according to the way we paskin, that chatzer is midin yad, why should it be that your chatzer is not kone for you just because you're not allowed to be kone for yourself? Now, it could be that the idea is that although chatzer shalom is kone lo shlomidaito, but when the person dafka doesn't want his chatzer to be kone for him, it's as if he's clenching his fists and saying, I'm not picking up the item. Yes, my chatzer is my yad, but you can throw things at my hands, and if I'm clenching my fists and I'm not going to take them, then I'm not kone it. So it's as if he's saying he doesn't want his yad to be kone. Dafka has das not to be kone because it's an isser and he's not interested in violating the isser. That's the possible teretz to Maratz Chayis' kasha. Says Gemara Vayitri, Hachi asurus begezel nedarki shalom. We said it's asur mishum to steal it because of darki shalom. Ida shalcha gezel malyahu, ida lo shalcha, habay shlucha. Wait a second. If you already sent away the mother, so then it's real gezel. And if not, habay shlucha. If you didn't send away the mother, you need to send it away, and it's an isur shalech to shalach. So why mention that it's gezel mibnei darke shalom? Forget about gezel mibnei darke shalom. You're a violation of the isur in the Torah. Torah says you have to send away the mother before you take away the birds. Forget about darke shalom issues. Answers Gemara b'katan d'lav bar shiluachu. We're dealing with katan who's not of age to be mishalech. Katan bar darke shalom. So he has no mitzvah to do the shiluach, and he's the one that's stealing. What? Katan bar darke shalom? Who is katan? Someone who has to abide by darke shalom? So hachi kamar, av shel katan chayev lahachzulam im bnei darke shalom. If a child took those eggs, the father has to return it for the sake of darke shalom. Frank tells us for Tema, that feel begadol avimati lukmei. Why do we have to say it's talking about a katan? You could have even came up with a case that it's talking about a gadol. Ukigon shenasun yado a big do tachas abeitim b'shal she'em rovetzas alayem. You stick your hand underneath the eggs when the mother's still there. And you still don't have in mind to be kone of them, the asr, because it's still asr. So what do? You keep your hand there so that the second the mother is gone, right, the second you send away the mother, you're the one that's kone, because your hand is underneath it, rather than the chatzah. Why didn't we say that? Tosa says, okay, he leaves it as a kasha. Doesn't understand why we have to fetch onto a case of a katan. Why don't we just say that simple halacha? Now the katan, the father's responsibility, it seems that this is part of the chiv of chinuch, right? The katan himself is lav bar shiluach, he's not chayv in mitzvos, but it's a father's responsibility to make sure that the item gets returned. Mipnei darkei shalom seems to be part of a father's obligation of chinuch of a child. Okay, says the Mishnah, hamaskar bayis chaveru l'shana, a person rents a house to his friend for a year. Nisab rashan nisab l'socher. If they then add a month to the year, the tenant wins. Hiskir lo l'chadashim, if it's rented by the month, nisab rashan nisab l'maskir. Any extra month is going to be an extra payment for the maskir. Maisa b'tzipori be'echad shesachar merchatz mechaver b'shneim asur zav l'shana medina zav l'chadash. They once worded the lease agreement that it's going to be 12 gold coins for the year, one per month. And then it turned out they added a 13th month to the year. So what do? Do they follow the 12 coins for the year, or do they do one per month and give a 13th coin? So the case came in front of these rabbis, and they said, they should divide the 13th month. Isn't that story contradictory to what we just said? The Reisha just said that either it all goes to the socher, it all goes to the maskir. And then we bring a maisa where they split it. So why should that be the case? So it says the Gemara, Chisur Machzor V'Achitani. No, there's something missing from the Mishnah. The Mishnah should read as follows. If you say both, you say it's Shnei Masu Zuvim L'Shana and Dinar Zav L'Chodesh, then you split it. And that exact maisa happened, and therefore they split it. So you have to add in one extra halacha before we have this maisa. And that halacha is that if you don't do it by the month alone, nor by the year alone, but you mention both lashonos, then you split it. Amar Rav, Ihavai Hasam, Havi Hivnale Kule Lamaskir. Rav says, good thing they didn't ask me the Shaila. I wouldn't have said to split it. I would have said everything goes to the Maskir. They gotta pay the landlord for the full month. Maiko Mashmalan, what's Rav teaching me? Tfos Lashon Achron, that when you say two Lashonos, that we follow the second of the two Lashonos. I mean, after all, they said two Lashonos. What were the two Lashonos? That the first Lashon was that it's going to be paid by the month, and then by the year, and then the second Lashon is that it's going to be paid by the month. So Rav says, I would have gone with the month. Why? Because it's the later Lashon. Is that the Chiddush of Rav? Hamarav Chadazim, the Rav already taught us that halacha. Dam Rav Huna Amri Bei Rav, Astira Me'amai, Me'amai. If you say that you're going to pay an Astira, which is Me'amai, which isn't always, so which one are you really obligated in? Me'amai. Me'amai Astira, Astira. Right, you always go with the second lashon. These are different types of currencies. So meyama doesn't always add up to astira. So ime hasam have a mean of prusha kamafarish kamashma. No, I would have thought that you're just explaining that your meyama is always going to equal the astira. That you're going to give the kinds of ma'a, whether they're cheaper ma'os, that will add up to an astira. And you're only being mafarish. You're not actually contradicting yourself. So kamashma, therefore, he comes and tells me, no, you are contradicting yourself, and therefore we're always going to follow the lashon achron. Shmuel says, no, you know why they said to split it in the Mishnah? It's because the case came to Beis Din smack in the middle of that last month. So Amar Aval Babit Chilas Chodesh Kalil Masker. Had they come at the beginning of the month, then Beis Din would have passed, look, Socher, you haven't lived that month in the house yet. If you want to live for the coming month in the house, you're going to have to pay the Masker. He has the right to throw you out right now. If they come after the socher's already lived there, so then the socher is going to win, and the maskir is not going to be zocher in anything. He's not going to get a penny. So, wait, does Shmuel reject the idea of just following the later lashon? If a guy says, I'm selling you a kor for shloshim, so he could be chozer even up until the last sa'ah. Why? Because the 30 hasn't been counted out yet. Kor b'shloshim sa'a b'sela ani mocher lach, rishon rishon kana. What if he says kor b'shloshim, and because kor is 30 sa'a, so I'm selling you a sa'a for a sela, so then each one, you're kona each one at a time. Why? Because of the lashon achron. We follow your last lashon, not your first lashon. So doesn't Shmuel hold that you tfos lashon achron? Why does Shmuel say that it's only if it comes in the middle of the month? So it says Mar Hasan time amay mishum de tafis. Hachanami katafis. No, over there the reason why you get to keep it is not because tfos lashon achron, it's because you've already been tofes that which the first bit of grain at a time. So over here as well, whatever you've been tofes, you get to keep. Whatever you haven't been tofes, you don't get to keep. One more line from Nachum Amar Karka b'ches ba'ale. The kaka stays in the chazaka of the owner. My kamashman tefos lashon achron haynu drav. What? He's coming to teach me again the same halacha that Rav said. Now afal gav da apich mepach, that he's coming to say, he's saying that that even though you initially said it otherwise, that still we're gonna follow that lashon. Okay, we'll go over that point again tomorrow. But Shem and start from there.